Everybody say amen today. Amen. You know, one time I was doing a conference in Ireland, and I remember I took questions and from the young people, and a lot of them had to do with intimacy and all this and that, and they're very conservative in Ireland. And in fact, I remember walking down the street in Ireland one day in Dublin, and I looked up and there was a sign, and it was a dentistry, and it said, "Teeth made while you wait." Come on, somebody. I thought of George Washington for some reason. And so looking at it, but I remember, oh man, I forgot where I was going with the story. I should not have told that extra little bit about it. No, I shouldn't have told about the teeth. Ireland. I don't know. It was a good story. All right, let's go on. I was going somewhere with it. Help me, Lord. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold," everybody say, "the Lamb of God." Say one more, the Lamb of God. That does what? That does what? I want to talk to you today about the Lamb of God. Father, we just come this Communion Sunday. We want to celebrate it. We want to enjoy it. We want to experience its power. Lord, we believe there's power in communion. We believe, Lord, that it's not just some symbolic act, but there is power in communion. And this morning, I pray, let us get the horse before the cart, that we can enjoy this great salvation that we have been given. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen. Everybody look around. Somebody say, "Help the pastor." Would you help the pastor in his memory? Come on, somebody. The word lamb appears over 100 times in the Bible. 75% of that is in the first five books of the Old Testament and the book of Revelation. So that literally the Bible begins and ends with the Lamb of God. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and I'm the beginning and the..." So there's something about Jesus as the Lamb of God. It begins and it ends with the Lamb. And I want to give you some background about the Lamb so that you can see what John was talking about when he described Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The way it began was in the nation of Israel. God began something with lambs. In the book of Exodus, he begins something dealing with lambs because God began to paint a picture. I don't know about you. I still like to read cartoons. Anybody else in here? I love cartoons. Well, five of us. So we love cartoons. We love pictures. And there's just something about pictures that help you understand. And God painted pictures for them to see. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one walk with me than merely point the way. For the eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is oft confusing, but examples are always... You know it. All right, clear. This says, now, in the book of Exodus, here's what God did. He gave a picture. "Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs a year old, day by day, they had to offer two lambs every day of the year, 365 days a year, or 360 on their calendar. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight." The way it worked was this: the nation of Israel offered two lambs every day of the year. They offered one right at dark, right at twilight. That was all the sins you had done all day long was taken care of at twilight. The offering of a lamb, the idea was they would lay their hands on the lamb and all of your sins would be transferred to that lamb, and then that lamb would die in your place. When we spoke of the blood of a lamb saving you, it was that the life was in the blood, and this lamb gave his life. So at dark, you had a lamb slain for the nation of Israel every day of the year. Every evening of every day, and all that the blood of that lamb, the death of that lamb, then took care of all the sins that occurred during the day. And then at morning time, they would get up and they would slay another lamb, and that took care of all the sins, which some of you before you got saved would have been a bunch. And that would take care of all the sins you did from twilight, from almost getting dark until the next morning. Everybody say amen. So what happened was, it began to, Israel knew what the lamb was. Every day, thousands of years, they offered two lambs every day for the sins they had committed. The lamb you offered. And so what happened was this. I want to ask you a question, because it'll seem a little odd, but let me just ask, have you sacrificed your lamb today? Let me say it this way. The problem that most of us do not literally, and never did literally, sacrifice lambs. But basically, we don't do that anymore. But there is a prophetic picture of Jesus. It's a prophetic picture of what Jesus would do for us. And still does for us every day. But I found that if we still feel like that we need to do something every day to appease God's anger at us, then we are still living under old covenant law and not the new covenant. If you feel like every day you've got to do something to make up for or to pay for what you have done wrong, to get God not to be mad at you and not to punish you, you're still living under old covenant law. You do not realize that he was already appeased 2,000 years ago by what the Lamb of God did. And when you begin to realize that no more is there anything you have to do day by day to appease God, but that God was absolutely appeased 2,000 years ago by the Lamb of God, it'll make a difference. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Number one is, look at this. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's just read it this way. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, that was the two lambs a day, wasn't really doing anything permanently. It was simply a shadow of the Lamb that was to come. For the law, let's just put the section we're talking about today, the two lambs. For since the two lambs that were offered morning and night were but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? If it could have made you perfect, that first lamb that first morning, or that first lamb that first twilight, would have been all that ever needed to be offered if it could have done it the job permanently, but it could not. It says, for since they were ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, right? You offer a lamb at twilight, took care of all the sins you did, if that would have been permanent, it was all that ever would have needed to be done. Having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, now here's what Jesus said when he came into the world. He said this to the Father, sacrifices and offerings you really have never desired. What were they, God? They were pictures. They were just shadows of what really was about to come. And Jesus came, he says, sacrifices and offerings, things you do on your own, your good works, the product of your labor, every morning going out there and feeding those lambs, every evening tending them, the sacrifices, what you grew in the ground, the fruits of your, all that you did on with your labor. Watch this. Since, consequently, when Christ came, he said, sacrifices and offerings, God, you really have not really desired. But a body, listen to what Jesus says, but a body you have prepared for me. See, Jesus was outwardly a Jew, but he was inwardly Jehovah. Come on, somebody. He was deity wrapped in humanity. And Jesus comes on scene and he says, you have created a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that we will have wisdom. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily, every priest stands morning and twilight. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered, everybody say, for all time. Say it one more time. For all time. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, one time, took care of it all, one sacrifice for all time. That meant 2,000 years ago, all the way sweeping through us and all through eternity for all time. A single sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. All the sanctified people say amen this morning. Listen, for all time. Listen, for all, by a single sacrifice offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That tells me this. What he did on the cross appeased the Father. What he did on the cross did a work in my life that nothing can I add to it. It for all time has sanctified me. Everybody say amen. Give him a good clap offering. Would you come on? How did it work? What did he do? How did it all work out? Let me just give you 3 points, and then we're going to have communion together and believe God. The first point is this. The Lamb was provided. We did not come up. We did not produce. We did not by any labor of our hands. We did not by any muscles, any sweat of our brow. We did not provide that one single sacrifice that has changed us forever. It was given to us. It was provided for us. You ever rented a home and says the utilities provided? Absolutely. Not you pay for your own utilities. How many like it when they say, oh, absolutely, everything's paid for. It's all paid. Listen, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was provided to us. We did not earn him. We did not deserve him. He was given to us free and clear by God. The greatest example of that is in Genesis chapter 22. It says, listen, this is a conversation between Abraham and Isaac as they're walking up to the mountain. Remember, Abraham had a word from God to sacrifice his son. And in obedience, he's about to do that. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham prophesied this. He didn't know it, but he was prophesying. He said, God, listen to this. He said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And so they both went together. Notice this verse. Now, he said, God will provide for himself the burnt offering. And when you read it, I don't know if you ever noticed this. He said, God, everybody say, God will provide. Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And in verse 13, Abraham's got his knife up. He's got Isaac on the altar. He's about to sacrifice his only son. In verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes after the angel held his hand and said, don't do it. And look, behold, behind him was a what? Was it a lamb or a ram? A ram so aged, so old that it had horns that got caught in a thicket by its horns. So there was no lamb yet. Abraham is prophesying what God would do 4,000 years later, what God would do when God brought his only begotten son, and God would provide for us a lamb. Come on, somebody. He would provide for us a lamb. And the Bible says that God will provide. 2,000 years ago, John 1:21, our text this morning, and he, next day he saw, John saw Jesus coming, and he said, behold what? God has provided the Lamb of God. God has given the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. No more covering them for a day. No more covering them for 12 hours and then having to do it again and cover it for another. This Lamb will take away the sins of the world. Once and for all time, He will sanctify a people by that one single sacrifice that never has to be done again. In fact, when He finished, He sat down, which always symbolized, I'm finished. Come on, somebody. So He does this. The Lamb, listen, the Lamb was provided. The Lamb, we did not do anything. The Lamb was provided. Number two is this. Not only was the Lamb provided, but it had to be a pure Lamb. The Lamb, listen, the Lamb was pure. Exodus chapter 12, it says it this way. Your lamb shall be without what? In the English, it's three words. You know, without is really two words put together. But in the Hebrew, it was one word. And it literally meant this. I wrote the definition down. It meant to be without fault, without defect. But let me give you just a pure definition. It means the lamb had to be 100% pure. Everybody say 100%. You ever read these things, you know, 99, you know, you get these air filters that clean the air in your home. It says 99.9% cleans. They don't want to go the whole route, you know, because they want to have some legal loophole to protect themselves for a lawsuit. So they put 99. Let me tell you something. Jesus was not 99.9. Jesus was 100% pure. He was not just almost ready, almost pure. He was 100%. Your lamb will be 100. Your lamb must be 100% pure. I like what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. Peter wrote of it this way, and he said this. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without what? It meant this same word. It meant like a lamb that was 100% pure. The lamb, Jesus said, you weren't bought with gold and silver and the stuff you make on your own. You were purchased. You were sanctified. You were cleansed for all time by one single sacrifice of a lamb. That whose blood was absolutely 100% pure. Nothing added, nothing subtracted from it. It was 100% pure. No blemish, no defect, no fault. I like what all it said. Let's go through these real quick. Here is a testimony of people that were around Jesus in that day. Jesus said, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? No sin in me. He said, I will no longer talk much with you. The ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim or nothing in me. Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I'm bringing him out to you. Here's the ruler of the whole world at that time. I know that I find no what? No guilt in him. Look at John. This. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate, his wife sent a word to have nothing to do with that. What kind of man? I go to the next one. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was what? Innocent. Saying, here's Judas. I have sinned by betraying what? Innocent blood. Go to the next one. Is that it? And we indeed justly, for we have received, this is one of the thieves on the cross, due rewards for our deeds. But this man has done what? This man has done nothing wrong. That was it. So listen to this. So they might present to the church. Now, let me tell you, one of the most misapplied scriptures I've ever heard preached is out of the book of Ephesians. And here's the scripture. So that he might, Jesus, might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without what? Same word in the Greek. Same word means he might present the church to himself 100% pure. And here's how I've heard that how that scripture preached. Jesus is coming soon. Clean up your act. Get holy. Da da da. That is the most misapplied preaching. Because if we could get ourselves holy, there was no sense of what Jesus did. Let's read the whole thing in context. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. He cleansed her, that he might present the church to himself in splendor. The Bible says he cleansed us. for one sacrifice for all time. We have been sanctified. He cleansed us so He might present us to Himself, a church 100% pure. See, you don't believe that. That's why you don't like it. You don't believe it. Because you don't believe that. You still think, I've got to sacrifice my lamb today to get God appeased with me. God loves you on your worst day as much as He loves you on your best day. If you think God loves you more the day you know, man, I've gone a whole 24 hours. I haven't sinned. I haven't chewed tobacco. I haven't done nothing. I'm so good. God loves me so much. He don't love you any more on that day than the day when you were spitting at you. Come on, somebody. John Osteen said, John Osteen's mama chewed tobacco all her life. And then John's dad died. And John's dad tried to get her to stop chewing tobacco. And she never would stop chewing tobacco. After he died, about 5 years later, she wanted to get married again. She met a man. Guess what she did? She quit chewing tobacco. Come on, somebody. How big do you want to? But you know what? One time they asked John, they said, can you go to heaven and chew tobacco? He said, yeah, but you got to go to hell to spit. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm way off course here. The only thing that will make you pure, the only thing that makes the church 100% pure, He cleansed us by the washing of water, by the Word. What Word? The Word that He's the Lamb of God. The Word. Do I believe in living holy? Absolutely. But listen to me real clearly here. Listen to this real clearly. Living righteous does not make you righteous. Listen to that very clearly. Living righteous does not make you righteous. If you don't remember anything else, living righteous does not make you righteous. If that were true, how many of you know people that really are not saved that really live righteous lives? Mormons live righteous lives. I'll leave that right there. But living righteous does not make you righteous. You are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Your righteous are sanctified for all time by the one sacrifice, by the 100% pure lamb that was sacrificed 2,000 years ago. And you are once and for all time, sanctified. And if you mess up, the Father will take you to the woodshed and deal with you as a son or a daughter. But it does not change the fact that you are sanctified in the eyes of God, and you've been sanctified, and He will present you as a church without spot or blemish, without wrinkle, 100% pure before Him by His blood. Not by works of righteousness that you have done. Not by living righteous. Do I believe in living righteous? Absolutely. Paul was accused of the same thing. Well, you're saying then we ought to sin so grace may more abound. He said, God forbid. How that we that have been changed by the blood, how we are not going to live righteous? But he never wanted to get the cart before the horse. And somehow, you living righteous now is what really makes you righteous. It does not make you righteous. You live righteous because you've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb of God. You live righteous because you love Him. He's your husband. You're married to Him. You've divorced the world. You've turned your back on that. You're doing it out of love for Him. But living righteous never makes you righteous. Just your love response to Him. And don't ever listen to that, get holy because He's coming. You are holy. You need to live it out in your life now. But He has sanctified you. You're never going to have peace in your life until you understand grace. By grace are you saved. That not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. You're saved by the once for all sacrifice that never had to be repeated. That it washed you, it cleansed you, it redeemed you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Give one more good clap offering. Would you do that? Third thing and last thing is the lamb was perfect. Kind of like the second one, but it's not quite. Leviticus 22 says, when anyone offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill a vow or a freewill offering from the herd or the flock to be accepted, it must be what? It's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. Same word we read, it means no blemish, it means 100% pure. It must be perfect to be accepted. Now, the problem is, anybody perfect in here this morning besides me? Anybody else perfect in here this morning? Anybody perfect? Anybody 100%? I mean 100%? I could even ask anybody in the 90 percentile, probably most. But anybody here, anybody 100%? Anybody 100% perfect? Anybody 100? Anybody else in here 100% perfect? I've got news for you. There is, though, a perfect one. There is one who is 100% perfect. There is one who never sinned. There is one who had no defect. There is one that had no fault and no blemish. Without all of that, was 100% pure. There was one that was accepted. There is one. There is one. Listen, and that's how I get to heaven. My faith in the perfect one. Not me being perfect. No doctrine today for living an easy life. No doctrine for that. Because once you know Him, your love for Him compels you to love Him and to live righteous. But you do it because you understand that what He did for us, He made you 100%. You are accepted because your faith is in a perfect one. Your faith is in one that knows no sin. Your faith is in one. Now, you got to do this. Remember that very first Passover when the Israelites were told by Moses, here's what God said. Go get a lamb and kill it. You know, when they called the leaders, they always called men. The men came. And all the men came, and Moses is instructing them. Take a lamb, each of you a lamb for your house. If your house is too small, get your neighbors. But then after you've partaken of the lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorpost of your tents. They lived in tents in that day. Rub it on the tent, rub it on the top, and on made a perfect cross. And you can imagine, you know, we think it just went easy. You can imagine, here's all the guys are heading back toward their house or their tents. And their wives are standing there. They said, what did Moses say today? Well, he said we had to kill a lamb. Another lamb? We killed 16 this month. We don't have no life. Another lamb. And then he said something else. What did he say? We're to take the blood and we're to put it on our... you're not putting no red. That's not my color scheme. You know, we're kind of brownish or bluish or whatever. All that you can imagine, all that stuff went down. But listen, he looked at him. He said, listen, wifey. He said, God said that we have to put the blood on our tents because there's going to be a death angel is going to pass over the camp. And the only thing, listen, we can zip it up. We can put the shifro. We can put it in front of the tent door. We can line our tents with branches and everything else. None of that stuff. We can put a big deadbolt on the front and zip it and put a deadbolt. That's not going to keep the death angel out of our tent. Only thing that's going to keep our death angel out of our tent is if we take the blood of a perfect 100% lamb and we put it on our little tent, and as thin as that fabric is in that tent, that blood will cover our tent, and that angel, that death angel, will not be able to come into our tent. Come on, somebody. And that night, can you imagine, they're in bed, they got their little ones right there. And the only thing that he's thinking about, the only thing, can you imagine, one of those Jews is just laying in bed right there. He's laying on his cot or his ground, and his loved ones are beside him. And he's thinking, the only thing keeping that death angel out of this flimsy tent is the blood of the Lamb of God. I remember one time we bought a camper. We were going camping. And we went over to the RV shop. I remember one of the guys over there said, yeah, watch this. All you have to do is, it's just, you know how the sides are Velcroed? All you have to do is un-Velcro it. I saw Jasmine's eyes go, like, thought just came in her brain. Anybody can come in our tent at night. Come on, somebody. That was the end of our camping days right then and there. But can you imagine anything can come in come in that tent. And the only thing that protected them was the blood, listen, of 100% pure lamb. Now, think this. Years later, when they're in the land, and God says, here's what I want you to do. If you want to deal with your sins, here's what I want you to do. You've got to go get a lamb, and you've got to bring a lamb, and you've got to have a perfect lamb, one without spot and one without blemish, 100% pure. And I've said this, but I want to reiterate it today because I want to put it in here. What was the average Jewish man thinking when he's got his lamb and he's leading his lamb to the priest? What he's doing is he's dealing with his sin, and he's dealing with the sin of his family, and he's leading this lamb, he's leading the lamb to the priest. He's not thinking, listen, he's not thinking about himself. He's not thinking, I'm about to go meet the priest and deal with my sin. Is the priest going to ask me, have I been to synagogue all year long? Did I make it to synagogue 52 weeks out of there? Did I make it to synagogue? He's not thinking that. He's not thinking when he's going, Is the rabbi going to ask me about my Torah reading? Have I read the Torah every day? Would that deal with my sin? Would that make me righteous? The Jewish man was not thinking any of that kind of thing. The Jewish man was only thinking this one thing. Is my lamb 100% pure? Is my lamb perfect? Is my lamb without defect? Is my lamb without blemish? Is my lamb without spot? Because when he comes to the priest, the only thing they examine, they don't examine him, they examine the lamb. And if the lamb is 100%, then that man is forgiven of all of his sins, his family is cleansed, he's cleansed, and he's righteous before the Lord. And so what it was a picture of us. Because when we come before God, you should get your mind off yourself. And you should get it on the Lamb of God and think, was Jesus 100% pure? Was Jesus without spot? Was Jesus without blemish? Was Jesus without fault? And then what you do is this, by the blood of a lamb, I have been made 100% righteous. Everybody say amen. Come on. Give him a good clap offering. You know, one of the keys is you've got to always come back and you got to do this. He was 100% clean. He was 100% perfect. And what makes you and I righteous, not just for a day, an hour, a minute, a second, but for all time, we have been sanctified by one sacrifice that has been offered and never offered again. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I want musicians to come this morning. I want you to listen to this because Abraham had prophesied God will provide. You realize according to Galatians 3, he is the spiritual father of us all. And he walked up, our spiritual father walked up that hill that day. And he took his knife and was going to stab it through his son and was stopped. And then God gave these words, prophetic, God will provide a lamb. 2,000 years later, when John the Baptist stood on the seashore, rather than the River Jordan, and he looked up, and there over top that hill, another father had sent his son. If you knew anything about where Abraham took Isaac, was the same mountain called Calvary that we call it today. And God walked with his son. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And the father walked the son up to Golgotha, the same hill that Abraham had offered Isaac. And this time there was no angel stopping the sword. His son was slain because he, God, provided the lamb that would take away this, not just cover them, take away the sins of the world. And what we're doing this morning is, do we live righteous? Absolutely we live righteous. Why? To make us righteous? No. Because we are righteous. We live what we are. We are righteous. We are sanctified. How you can say that, Pastor? Because he was 100% pure. He was 100% righteous. He that knew no sin became sin. Listen to this. Could they help it? He that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he that knew no sin, 100% pure, became sin on the cross. So that means the Lamb's, all the sin of the world was transferred to him. And every person that receives, every person that accepts, every person that gets it, then suddenly their account is wiped out and it's of all the bad stuff. And then it's filled with all the good stuff. And we become righteous, not by good works, not by being righteous acts. We are made righteous by the blood of the Lamb of God. John was taken to heaven one time. In chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, here's what he said. He said, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll, written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy?'" Everybody say, "Who is worthy?" Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one, listen, no one in heaven or in earth. You ever thought about that? They looked, not only they looked in earth, we understand that. They searched heaven. Nobody was worthy. Because, not, listen, not because there wasn't any righteous ones in heaven, but no one had done what Jesus did. No one had given their life for us. No one had laid their lives down. He was really the only person that ever literally gave his life. Everybody else that ever died for anybody else only shortened their life. Is that right? They only shortened their life because they would die eventually. Every person that's ever given their life for somebody else has only shortened their life because they would die eventually. Jesus would never have died. He was like Adam and Eve originally, would have lived forever. But he gave his life. It says, no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because nobody was found worthy to open the scroll and look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no." Everybody say, "Weep no more." Say it one more time. "Weep no more." Well, he said, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb." Everybody say lamb. "Standing as though it had been slain, its jugular vein had been cut. Seven horns and with seven eyes, and the seven spirits of God sit on all the earth. And he went and took the scroll in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation.'" Everybody say amen today, would you? I want you to stand up. Close your eyes. Bring the lights down a little bit, would you, this morning? Let's worship God before we take communion. Come on.
Oh.
Father, we come to this house to remember the sacrifice once and for all that was done. Lord, we glorify your name. We magnify you this way. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go get this. I want you to go to each of the tables. There are tables all around the auditorium. I want you to go to the table, and I want you to take the bread and the wine. I want you to get it and go back to you wherever you want to go and sit and hold it just for a minute, would you? And we're going to, listen, today what we're going to do, I want you to go ahead and begin to do that. Would you right now? Go ahead and begin to do that. Go ahead and step out and come on. While you're doing that, I'll just tell you. Today we're going to talk about, we're just going to remember the sacrifice that was done for all time. Just when you're walking up there, just think, one sacrifice for all time. One sacrifice for all time. Just one sacrifice. No more morning, no more night. I don't have to think, I got to make up for what I did wrong yesterday. I got to pay for it today. No more of that stuff. You were sanctified for all time by one sacrifice. Do you ask forgiveness? Absolutely. You do that to be made righteous? Nope. You do that because you love him, because he convicts you of sin. He wants you to live life to its fullest. He wants you to live holy and righteously. But you were made righteous once and for all by what we're remembering through the communion this morning. Father, we love you today. There's an old song we used to do called Thou Art Worthy. Listen to this old song, and many of you remember it. What key are we in, Nick?
G.
G. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created. Save his people. Can you imagine the day that Jesus, it came to him? We don't know when that happened, what age it was, but it came to him that he was the Son of the living God. Came to him that he was the sacrifice. And the Bible, Hebrews says, and this is what he said, a body thou hast prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. We have no idea where the human and the deity came. We don't know where that came together. We don't know. We don't understand. But know this, he did say this, a body thou hast prepared for me. This body, take the bread, would you right now? This piece of bread symbolizes his body. He said, take the bread. He said, this is my body that's broken for you. Can you imagine? He knew that that body that he was living in, possessing, that body was the sacrifice that was going to be given for all time. Once and for all. For all time, that body would be this. Instead of the body of a bull or a ram or a lamb, a literal lamb or a dove or pigeons or the fruit from the, all that was just shadows. He knew that that body he lived in, he kept it clean, he kept it holy. All it was pure, 100% pure. And he laid down his body that day on Calvary. He says, "Take this, my body that's been broken for you." So, Lord, this morning we remember the body that you gave so freely at the cross. Thank you once and for all. I receive the truth of that. I will not demean what you did. I will exalt it. I will exalt it. I will thank you. I will believe it. I will trust that this has sanctified me, that it has, the giving of your body, the giving and the laying down by obedience to the will of God, it has sanctified me for all time. We love you, Father. We remember it in Jesus' name. Break the little piece of bread, if you would, and partake this morning. Most precious thing of all was the blood. We're going to sing that song, Your Blood, at the end again, the last song you did today, because it spoke about what he did. And this morning I want you to get ready, because I want you to believe in your heart that you living righteous has never made you righteous and never could make you righteous and never will make you righteous. Whether before you were saved or after you were saved, living righteous does not make you righteous. There was only one way, one act that occurred that appeased the Father 2,000 years ago. And the Father has never changed his mind, because it was for all time by one sacrifice. This morning when you got up, you didn't have to ask forgiveness so that you could be righteous, or ask forgiveness so that you could really be saved again. Get that nonsense out of your head. You ask forgiveness because you want it out of your life. You ask forgiveness because it hurts him. You ask forgiveness because it wounds the spirit. You ask forgiveness because, listen, you were made righteous by that one act for all time. You were sanctified for all time. You were made right before him. He was appeased by that one sacrifice for all time. For all time, even 2012, September the 9th or 10th, whatever it is, today, you were made righteous today. Not by how good you were this morning or yesterday or last week. You were made righteous by that one act, that one sacrifice, forever and ever and ever. So I want you, before we partake, I want you to thank him for that. Jesus, we thank you that we believe it. We repent for thinking our own righteousness is what's going to get us there. This morning we receive the righteousness which is by faith. We receive the righteousness which is a gift from God. We receive the righteousness that comes by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, let's remember what he did for us. Partake this morning.
Righteousness for me, it stands in my defense. It's only because your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. It speaks righteousness for me and stands in my defense. It's only can wash away our sins. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as a friend of God. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Testifies in grace. It tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. No, boldly we approach, not by earthly confidence. It's only by your blood. Hallelujah! Jesus is your blood. Jesus. Oh, I can't wash away our sins. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh,
Billy Hornsby and I were in Mexico City, and I remember that we went out into the mountainous areas and we went to a Catholic church. I'll never forget this. And I remember they had long steps and they were made out of sharp rocks,
And I looked and I couldn't believe what I saw, because I saw people on their knees very slowly going up these steps. And I could tell by the pain on their faces that these rocks were cutting into their knees and their legs and in their hands. And I remember Billy looked at me and said, "Well, I've been here before many times." He said, "What they're doing is," he said, "they're trying to pay for their sins." That one of the things a priest at that certain place had told them, that if you'll walk up these steps on your knees and on your hands, that pain that you're suffering will pay for the bad things that you had done. And I couldn't believe it. I watched them so steeped in religion, and how that somehow your own making up for would somehow appease or please God. And then I thought about us, and we may not do it so overtly, but we do the same stuff. And we don't really trust in the power of the blood on our tents, that's what makes us acceptable, so that the death angel and all those things cannot come to us. That's what makes us righteous before God. And this morning I want you to do this. I want you to ask the Lord to open your eyes, that anything that you're not trusting in the power of the blood to make you righteous, that you're trying to do this and this and this and this. Will we do good works? Absolutely. We were ordained to do good works. Will we live righteous? Absolutely. How can we that have been saved from sin live any longer in it? But you're doing it from the basis that you already are righteous. You already are. You're not doing it to appease God. He's already been appeased. His power, the blood of His Son. And anything less, when you go on those other stuff, honest, listen, it's a lack of faith in the power of the blood. It's an insult to what Jesus did. You got to lift up what He did. Lift it high in your heart and in your mind. And God will be pleased and God will be proud of you if you'll do that. Give it all away. And then what you'll do is you'll sing the songs of heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb." You'll sing the songs of power of the blood. "By your blood you've redeemed us." You'll sing all that you ever say and talk about. "How'd you make it to heaven?" "I made it by the blood of Jesus." "Absolutely, by the power of what He did for me. The cross was so magnified." Paul said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and Him crucified." The cross has been, he said, the cross. So when you come into your life, one of the things to grow in is that knowledge of how you've been made righteous. So this morning, Lord, we thank you for the power. We don't crawl up any steps any longer, whether it's literally or how we're doing it. Lord, we believe in the power of your Son's blood, that and the power of your Son's sacrifice has redeemed us. We honor that and we thank you, Father God. You created that. And everybody said a good amen today, would you? Give it one more good clap offering. Turn around and hug somebody this morning, would you? You're dismissed. You go in the name of the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 break every chain.